Title of our message tonight is Seven Precious Things. Now, before we begin, let me say there are more than seven precious things found in the Word of God, but we'll be looking in 1st and 2nd Peter for these particular ones. A thought brought to me by mail from one of the groups that we support. He said, quote, "Remember during Paul's quarantine in a Roman jail, as seen in 2 Timothy 2:9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." And may I say this, that at this point in time, the word of God still goes out and it doesn't return to him void. And then one of the missionaries that we have in Spain wrote this in his last letter, "Don't let this time of general difficulty, bewilderment, or worry diminish your love for the Lord. He knows and he cares for his children." And I think that's a good thought. Introduction to seven precious things. In the book of Psalms 116, verse 15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious means valuable, beloved, priceless, prized, favorite, even cherished. Psalm 126:6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Then again in Psalm 139, verse 17, it says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." And then I'll read to you from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and verses 13 through 15. Proverbs, chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not compared unto her." Let me say this, I've said it before. Time is precious. Truth is precious. But truth is more precious than time. The word of God is truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you've turned to 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin there at this time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 18. We'll see that the trial of your faith is precious. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, once again we come asking that you would bless this time together, that, Lord, you would give me the words that need to be said, and that, Lord, you would hide me behind your cross. Lord, we ask that your name would be honored and glorified, and we ask this in Jesus' name, and with thanksgiving, amen. The trial of your faith is precious. Point number one, if you're going to be writing down these thoughts, trial, or put to the test. Has your Christian faith ever been put to the test? Lawrence O. Richards writes, quote, "One refines gold not to harm it, but to purify it and to make it more valuable. When you experience troubles, don't think God is punishing me. Like the refiner, God's intent is to purify your faith to make you even more valuable to others and to Him, unquote. Your trial can bring praise to our Lord if we remain strong in the Lord. It can bring praise to Him. It can bring honor to Him when we go through the difficult times of life. Dr. David Sorensen writes, "The broader text here is of troubles which arise through opposition and persecution. Though unpleasant at the time, they in the long run are for our own good. Throughout the Bible, people whom God would greatly use were always tested first," unquote. And so, if we are going through a difficult time, and I'm not talking about being quarantined, that's difficult in and of itself. But there are times in which, because of our Christian testimony, we may be persecuted. We think of those Christians who have refused to do things because of their beliefs and have been taken into court and have been prosecuted, those who through the years have been martyred for the faith. I'm going to tell you what, their faith was precious, and they held on to it, clinging to it. Point number two, that which is precious is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. We know the scripture thoughts from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Let's look at them once again, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." We find that we are saved by the blood. Can I read the words to the first verse of that great song? "Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one." Written by S.J. Henderson. And I've been pondering if that is a male or a female, but I do love the words of "saved by the blood." Redemption was a transaction in ancient times whereby a slave was purchased to be set free. Peter says we know that our redemption was not by money, that being silver or gold. Rather, our redemption has been purchased, paid for, by the precious blood of Christ. Revelation 1:5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Christ paid for our redemption with his precious blood. Thus, we are to live as strangers to the desires and values of this world. We are different. We have been bought with a price. Number three, a precious stone. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, a precious stone, if you're taking notes. And it says, "Whereby laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." He is precious. A living stone. No doubt, it's just a reference to Jesus Christ, who is often referred to as a rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Matthew 16:8. He is that solid foundation. And may I say, it is precious. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It was Christ. Disallowed indeed of men, the scriptures say. This stone of great value was ignored. Have you ever gone looking for stones along, well, the shores of Lake Superior? There in Grand Marais, they have Egg Beach. And I don't know how many times as a young boy, as a teenager, even as an adult, I have walked along that beach hoping to find an agate. And they have a certain look about them, and people look for them. Now, I've never been to Petoskey and looked for those rocks, but I understand that some are still even available to this day. And of course, people look for quartz or rubies or emeralds, or if they're mining, they'll look for diamonds. But some rocks are precious, and our Lord is the most precious of all. But chosen of God. And precious. May I say this? Of all the ways one can suggest for our salvation, God the Father chose the death of Jesus Christ. He did not expect us to do some great heroic thing, because he knew that that would not satisfy him. He did not even say that your martyrdom would earn you salvation. It was through the death of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, precious and chosen. And that is indeed our fourth thought, the chief cornerstone. And let's begin reading at verse 4 down through verse 6. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, and also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, in a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, whereby also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. We find that Peter is quoting here from the book of Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. If you give me a moment, I'll turn there and read what Isaiah had to say about the rock. Verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. They that believe will not be ashamed. They will not be embarrassed. They will not be disappointed. We will not be disappointed in our chief cornerstone, the one that is our guide, the one who will direct. Number 5, precious, the one in whom we believe. The one in whom we believe. We just read how he is precious. The word so translated was a sense of valuable, as in priceless. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. To those who reject him and are disobedient to him, he will be manifest as the head of all and will be their judge. And he will use his words against them. We find in verses 7 and 8 that those who do not believe that believe he is a stone of stumbling and a rock will be a rock of offense. Stumbling. I've been interested in the fact that evolution is proven by mathematicians to be literally impossible. And yet there are those who are embarrassed that Jesus believed in the Genesis account. And they're embarrassed by him because why would he believe in this myth? And yet Jesus said, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Mark 9:6. Oh, he is so precious to me. I believe there's even a song that goes something like that, that he is so precious. You know, he is something that we should desire to get to know even better. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There'll be no excuses when people stand before the judge of the universe. They may try to say, well, I just didn't know, or nobody told me. The heavens declare the glory of God. And he will show on that last day at the judgment that they are without excuse. Number six, there is precious faith. Second Peter, if you would, please. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Second Peter 1, verse 1, down through verse 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. According to all divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called on us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you already know what number seven is going to be, the precious promises, but we're still on number six, the precious faith. We all have things, items, possessions that are precious in our sight. Things that will not be found at the Christmas in July white elephant party. Something from parents maybe, or grandparents, or even great-grandparents. Photos, diplomas, jewelry, keepsakes, a family Bible. Precious. Peter declares that our faith is precious. Donna was showing me a video clip from a person that I went to Bible school with, Guy Morrow. And I believe that he's in Oklahoma. He and his wife Brenda have been there for many years. And he's a couple of years older than me. But what preciousness it is to see someone who has the same faith. I've been reading letters from our missionaries, and one came from Brother Craig Comstock in New Zealand, and proclaiming the precious faith of Jesus Christ. Peter declares that our faith is precious to them that have obtained like precious faith. It is good to know that throughout America and around our world, men have been proclaiming the precious faith of Jesus Christ today. giving opportunity for people to come to know him as Savior. We are so blessed to have this precious faith. It gives us strength and encouragement during these days of, well, people wondering what is going to happen. But we have faith in a Lord that will never leave us nor forsake us. Which brings us to number 7, is precious promises. This morning we were talking about husbands and wives, and the fact of the matter is that on a certain day, a man and a woman stand before a pastor and before witnesses, and they promise to love and to honor and to cherish that person that is right there with them. And sadly, so many people have unfortunately broken those promises. But our Lord never breaks his promises. He is truth and truth itself. And whatever promise he gives, you can trust it. You can believe it. There in verse 4, we already read it, but I'll read it once again. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you remember the story of Noah? He lived in a corrupt society, and he escaped it. Now, most of us aren't going to have to build an ark, but we will escape it in the fact that Jesus Christ has provided a way of salvation so that we can spend eternity with him. I've often pondered this, and I've mentioned it on any number of occasions, but can you imagine what it's going to be like not to have stinking thinking? Not to have bad thoughts? There'll be no road rage in heaven. May I say this, that when there are people in lines at grocery stores or wherever, do you ever get the feeling that you're in the wrong line? And sometimes it can become frustrating. Well, in heaven, there won't be those frustrations. We'll have the fact that we will be with the Lord. No more tears. There'll be no more sin. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great. Mega. Mega. They are fantastic promises. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Isn't that an interesting thought? The Lord is waiting for us to come home and to be with him. Precious is the word of God. And those who take the precious seeds and spread them, this is a good thing. So we have precious thoughts. In conclusion, oh, the joy of being a born-again believer. I realize it's great to be an American. And to be honest, I'm glad we live in the state of Michigan. I think it's just special to live in this state that looks like a glove. And we're surrounded by the Great Lakes. And it's a wonderful thing. And that's nice. But being a born-again believer is even greater. The precious shed blood of Jesus has redeemed us. I don't have to try to do something to become eligible to get into heaven other than to accept Christ as my Savior. He has done all the work. He has paid the price. And because of our precious faith, we may have peace and comfort. And these are precious promises from the precious Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this time together. Thank you for these thoughts about precious things that are available to us. Help us, Lord, to walk faithful this coming week. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, amen.